This past December, my sister Kirsten invited Dwight, Luke, and me to go tide pooling. And I'd never done that before, even though I had grown up in San Diego. And so we gathered on a corner of one of our favorite beaches at low tide. There's just a whole gathering of rocks that were then exposed and covered with moss and seaweed. And we gathered with this wonderful intergenerational group. We had little kids to adults. And we gathered with my brother-in-law, Luis's friend. Luis is a high school teacher, but in the summers, he tends to work at Scripps Aquarium in La Jolla. And so he knows a lot of interesting people who just love the sea and sea life. And one of them was taking us tide pooling. And so we wandered on these rocks, just one of these beautiful, sunny, cool San Diego December days. Sorry, everybody. But just one of these days from heaven, and we wandered. It was a little bit slippery, so we watched our steps. And my brother-in-law, Luis, and his friend turned over one rock after another with their special gloves. And the bottoms of the rocks, as well as the spaces under them, were just teeming with life. I don't know if you, has anybody here ever gone tide pooling? Yeah, oh, quite a few of you. It's amazing. It's amazing. All the things that are going on that you don't see. And in the process, as we pulled up these rocks and looked under them, we saw brittle stars, sea hares, and sea stars. This was one of those amazing experiences of being in the moment in community and a time of joy and wonder, of being fully present to the people and the place that I was in. I felt joy and the lightness of being. And I feel the same peace when I look back at some of the pictures I took that day, especially the kids holding up all these amazing sea creatures. For me, this was one experience of eternal life. Many of us tend to think about what the writer of John's Gospel calls eternal life as something in the future. The term is actually interchangeable with what Matthew, Mark, and Luke call God's kingdom, or what I like to call God's reign or kingdom. It's not a time in the future, but a quality of existence. Eternal life is a way of living intentionally in relationship with God and others in the present moment that has a depth, wholeness, and fullness often absent in our busy and distracted lives. It's an experience of participating in and having a taste of God's life with others. Another way to describe this experience is communion. The freedom of being fully present in love and alive to ourselves, others, the world, and our Creator. I wonder when the last time you had that feeling and that experience was. Being fully present to God and those around you in the moment of feeling fully alive. Today's gospel is part of a longer passage in which a Jewish Pharisee named Nicodemus, referred to as a leader of the Jews, comes to Jesus in the night, curious about his teachings and his practice of the Jewish faith, and how that might differ from his own. Nicodemus is intrigued and confused, especially by Jesus' words that he must be born from above. For Nicodemus is a literalist, and he says, how can I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? He's attracted to Jesus and his way, but he's afraid of the consequences of declaring his interest in Jesus and Jesus' way publicly. And that's why he comes in the night. In the portion of the gospel passage you heard a moment ago, Jesus tells Nicodemus that the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, must be lifted up so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Lifted up here could mean many things. It could mean the cross, it could mean resurrection, or the elevation of Jesus, just like the serpent on the pole in our story from Numbers. Something or someone upon which people can set their gaze and live. For whatever we choose to look at and acknowledge, wherever we set our gaze, informs our imagination. This same gospel passage was written to Jews who followed Jesus when they were experiencing persecution and being kicked out of the synagogue. For a while, the Jews who followed Jesus thought that they could worship in the synagogues and then have their own meetings in homes. They really thought that what Jesus was doing was leading a revival movement within Judaism. But eventually it was not possible to worship in the synagogue and have a separate service with those who believed Jesus was the Messiah in homes. Jesus' words here thus speak to a persecuted minority, telling them, "This is who we are. We are people of the light. We follow God's light instead of the darkness. God sent his Son to save us by giving us a new way to live in relationship with God and others. We are the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing in him, by participating in his life and following his way, we experience eternal life." The life of faith involves many choices, as you know so well. As Moses once said to his people, recorded in Deuteronomy, "Today I set you before you life and death. Choose life." Lent is a time of reflection and deciding. It's a time of prayer and practice, but also a time of action, a time of turning from and a time of turning toward. Lent is a time when we intentionally take a hard look at the truth of our lives and turn toward God. We must let go of whatever keeps us from living in God's light. How might God be calling each of us to choose life rather than death this Lent? In Jesus, as our reading from Ephesians declares, God has given us a free gift. It's hard to believe and to accept, but God saves us by grace through faith. God does this because God profoundly loves us, as well as the rest of the people and the creation God has made. While we cannot earn eternal life through our good works are a natural outpouring of life rooted in God. Our response to the free gift of salvation, meaning fullness of life in God, is love of God, neighbor, and self. The way we live our lives in this world should look different from the lives of those who live for themselves alone. The lives of those who follow Jesus' way are fueled and fed by a personal experience of God's grace, mercy, and compassion. Another experience I had of eternal life recently was hearing the personal stories of brothers and sisters in Christ who daily experience racist comments, actions, and decisions. They told their stories at the Forum on Race and Microaggressions held recently at Hamlin United Methodist Church. At this event, so many men and women made themselves vulnerable by sharing their experiences of living in the cities as people of color. And they told the truth as they see it, as they saw it. It was a privilege to be entrusted with these stories, so many of them painful, which were told with a desire to tell the truth, to seek healing, and to work toward the racial reconciliation that is made possible in Christ. We have a long way to go before we can truly become what Dr. King called the beloved community. But this gathering was a start. Telling the truth. Listening deeply. Walking in the light. These are three ways that we can participate in God's life and thus experience eternal life. Since eternal life involves communion with God and others, I want you to ponder the following question in the silence that follows. What one thing are you willing to give up this Lent to make more room for God and your neighbor? Amen.